دنیای ما، جامعه ما.
Our world, our community with Debbie Amini.
سلام و روز بخیر شنوندگان عزیز رادیو ایران. من دبی امینی هستم و در برنامه امروز به همراه کارگردان فنی خوبمون آرمین جون میزبان دکتر واهان سسیان هستیم. ایشون پرزیدنت و پایه‌گذار مشاوران داوین هستند با هدف توسعه اقتصادی و بهداشت و درمان. دکتر سسیان در حال حاضر به عنوان نماینده مجاز و دوست و متحد اوسیتی ساکووین 3D، دولت ملی سرخپوستان سیو و هیئت شورای کشاورزی ملی نواحو فعالیت می‌کنند. اولین کسی بودند که هاسپس کیر و خدمات مربوط به اون رو به نواحو بردن و به همین دلیل در مقاله تایمز این منطقه از ایشون قدردانی شده. دکتر واهان سسیان در بیش از 13 سال گذشته در زمینه توسعه اقتصادی و بهداشت و درمان ایالت کالیفرنیا، آریزونا، نوادا، ساوت داکوتا، نبراسکا و نیو مکسیکو با دولت و دست‌اندرکاران این مناطق همکاری داشتند و ایده ها، چالش ها و راه حل های مراقبت های بهداشتی رو به مقامات مختلف و نهادهای دولتی پیشنهاد دادند. ایشون برنده لوح‌های افتخار و جوایز قدردانی بسیاری از جمله جامعه افتخاری بین المللی روانشناسی Elite American Executive Award هستند و در دو سال متمادی 2019 و 2020 از طرف سازمان بین المللی پیشرفت‌های مراقبت‌های بهداشتی به عنوان یکی از برترین رهبران شناخته شدند. دکتر واهان سسیان، خوش آمدید به برنامه امروز. Or should I say welcome to today's program.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. دوستان اگر که دوست دارین در طول برنامه تماس بگیرین با استودیو، سوالی مطرح کنین، از دکتر سسیان باشون صحبت بکنین، خطا باز هست. شما تلفن استودیو رو خدمتون اعلام میکنم: 323-512-7264. دکتر سسیان، I really didn't have enough time to go through all your awards, all your achievements, and I really prefer to hear it from you. So I want to ask you if you can please explain yourself. What is your position? And I want to know basically what you do.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, thank you very much for the opportunity for me to be amongst your demographic and the wonderful people in your community to hear what I have done and what I do currently. And it's been a wonderful privilege and also a burden throughout the years for me to try to help humanity. And helping humanity is not easy, but it is a noble cause. And throughout the years, I've been involved in Native governments, Native American governments, to bring in healthcare and economic development to their governments, considering that there's much work to be done in all their underserved communities. I currently became, for the first time in U.S. history, which was actually two days ago, became the universal ambassador for the Osheti-Shakouin Treaty Government of the Sioux Nation.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And I just couldn't be there in South Dakota to go through the ceremony and for me to receive the eagle's feather. But at the same time, this bestowment of this wonderful position gives me more leverage, at least at the government level, for me to speak with both domestic and international governments and their constituents to work together to help humanity in their healthcare needs. And before this, I was the authorized representative delegate of that treaty government. And I've been working also within the Navajo Nation, which is the largest tribe in the United States, to build their first terminal illness and chronic disease management program, which was under the presidential mandate, which led me to do a testimony at the Senate level. And eventually that led me to work with other tribal governments. And now I'm completely interrelated with both local, state, federal, and now with the international community. working with government officials in healthcare economic development. It's a very large and broad spectrum, but at the same time, it gives me the opportunity for me to meet and work with, you know, great organizations out there, you know, both large and small, physicians and experts in technology and blockchain, and also work with tribal organizations too to help them to excel in their own domain and to work with non-Native American groups to create this bridge between, you know, both countries and governments. And overall, it's going to help us all. And one thing that's noble is we are trying to help the very indigenous people of where we live. You know, United States was, you know, Native country and still is. And why not help them as the indigenous people of this country, you know, to thrive the way others thrive at the same time?
Very interesting. While you were describing this, a question came to my mind, and I think toward the end, you kind of answered the question that I had, but I want you to get into more details.
Sure.
You are Armenian, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
From your name, Dr. Valhan Setia.
Yes.
Is it Armenian, Persian Armenian or a different?
No, I'm from Armenia itself, from Yerevan.
Very good. You're from Yerevan. So no wonder you couldn't understand Farsi.
Well, I've been involved with, I've been exposed to, Persian-Armenian folks all over, you know, within my marriage that was Persian-Armenian. And then also at the same time, Dr. Hoca Daskari is a very good friend of mine, you know, his Persian. And so he has helped me a lot. So my exposure allowed me to at least understand a few of the things that you talk about.
Very good. So if you don't mind me asking, how old were you when you left Armenia?
I was 11. I came here when I was 11, moved to Los Angeles like everyone else. I went through my schooling, obviously, you know, high school, college, graduate school and doctoral programs. And I finished here in the United States. And then eventually I moved to Arizona. In the last 14 years, I've been living here in Arizona. And now the intent is for me to move back to Los Angeles. So I've been all over.
Very good. So now I'm going to get to my actual question.
Sure.
Being from Armenia, and then you came here in the United States, but now your focus is on American Indian tribes and trying to help them with healthcare, with economy and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
How come out of all the people in the world, I know that, you know, a lot of people need help, but usually what is normal is that where I come from, I put my focus on that and I try to help that kind of people. I'm going to go there. But you chose a totally different path, I would say. Not the path, but different group of people to help.
Uh-huh.
And it's interesting for me to find out why. Because let me, before you answer that, I think that's the right way to do. Because once we understand that although different, we are all the same. And wherever the help is needed, we have to be there to do it. But I want to hear it from your point of view. I want to know why you chose American Indian people to help.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is a very good question, because that question always goes through my mind every day, or at least the last eight, nine years. I didn't choose native country. I guess maybe the destiny chose me. As a consultant in healthcare for many organizations, I received a call from the Navajo Nation that they wanted assistance with their elder care program. Healthcare program. So, I drove to their capital, to the Window Rock, in the Navajo Nation. I sat down with some of their council members, and then I realized that their healthcare is just a facade. It doesn't exist. So many people are suffering, and they don't know that there are opportunities or better things for them. And once you see that, if you are the person destined to help them, it kind of changes you. And considering that I did have the confidence that I'm able to help them, help their healthcare program and their system for the better, I decided to commit myself to their cause, which is something that it is necessary for them, because I hated the fact that I was going to drive home and then remember that those very people whose land we're sitting on, those same people are suffering, and they have no access to health care, no access to proper and quality delivery of you know, health care services. And they're suffering in diabetes and many other ailments that can be prevented, then can be treated, which they didn't know anything about. So and that being the largest tribe in the United States, which is the size of West Virginia, it was something very unique, and I felt that it was my calling for me to help them. And I think that feeling right there may resonate to many others who were thinking of how to help these people, mm-hmm. But didn't know how to. So I became the bridge eventually, you know, to Native Country for many of the organizations to hear about. I've been on the radio and TV regarding, you know, my efforts in Native Country. And at the same time, I think that it is a noble cause for many who are able to deliver the proper services. Because sometimes, as much as they're a government, they still need help. They still need direction. They do want something that works out there to come in to their lands. And because they have been very impoverished, and also they don't trust too much the outside, and because of many false promises made, they become self-enclosed, and they would like to see vetted and trustworthy people to come in. So, which leads me to another great thing that I'm very humbled to know that I have been accepted and vetted for them to accept me into their families. You know, I have been adopted, you know, by their family. I have been given an eagle's feather,
wow.
as a sign of trust. And I do have their badge. I do have their ID. And the thing is, out of all, you know, I'm a non-native, so for them, I'm still a foreigner, but I've been adopted by their family to be one of their own. And the other reason why I think that this is not a coincidence is because when I published my second book in 2014, it was called Language as a Fingerprint. And I was discussing the last 14,000 years of human history and how the languages are interconnected and so forth. So I was kind of putting one and one together as far as, let's say, the Armenian rugs and also the Native American rugs, how similar they are. And this is way before I even met a Native American. So I think that them giving me a call, you know, a few months after I published this book, was also a sign that, you know, maybe the universe is speaking back to me, and maybe this was my calling.
That's very interesting. Very, very interesting, and I really thank you for what you do. And I'm going to go ahead and ask you another question. You know, we're on Persian radio, broad listeners of Persian community, and you know, we have Armenian Persians, all kind of Persian community who are now listening to this program. So how do you think, how important is it for the Persian American community and beyond to be active and, you know, to be active and kind of get involved in things that you do, or maybe other places that they think they can make a change and go ahead and make that change for a better world?
Okay, well, you know, obviously I know the Persian community. I know their culture. Obviously, I've examined, you know, various cultures in my books the last 14,000 years. So, besides from that, well, I know that the Persian community has a very heartfelt position in healthcare and also in business. And also one of my very close friends is Dr. Hoxha Askari in Arizona, and he helped me to do the largest COVID testing in U.S. history on tribal lands in Arizona. Mm-hmm. So I had the chance for me to speak with them and understand more of what the Persian community can do. And obviously the Persian community is very strong in all, you know, domains, including healthcare. You know, I have been exposed to conversations with them. I had many friends in the community. So I know that the Persian community and the Persian Armenian community is very affluent to kind of use their resources to help underserved communities. You know, California is one of the concentration of Persians and Persian Armenians, and a lot of people don't know that the largest concentration of Native Americans is in California.
Mm-hmm.
There are 147 tribes in California, and many Persian and Persian Armenians even go to their casinos at Agua Caliente and Morango and San Manuel and so forth. Those are all tribes.
Correct.
Which means that, you know, would you have a population that really needs the help, even though, let's say, the federal government is pretending to help them? if it actually helped whatever they were doing, we will not have this conversation. But obviously, you know, it's not helping. So that gives the opportunity for private enterprises and experts to come in and provide these specialty services, you know, to these people. And the Persian community can be very, very helpful, because I know firsthand that they've helped me already. So this is not just an idea. You know, I have photos, I have videos, you know, we have conversations with, you know, many dinners together, you know, after we accomplished many great things, you know, by Persian doctors. So I know that there's more that can be done. And this is beyond just a humanitarian effort. You know, there is, you know, capital incentives for this to be done, for the businesses to be active, for them to continue to help. This is not just free assistance. You know, we have the mechanisms for us to not only help them, but also thrive while doing the service and be an example that we came in and we did something more than what the federal government couldn't do or their own governments couldn't do. So as I frequent more to Los Angeles now lately, I do have opportunities to speak with more and more Persian doctors and Persian businessmen and how they can bring in their infrastructure even to nearby tribes. Well, I'm not talking about to go 600-800 miles away from Los Angeles. I'm talking about, you know, half an hour to an hour away, where we can put in a clinic, where we can put in, let's say, diabetes centers and dialysis centers and to utilize telehealth and so forth. So I'm glad that I'm on the radio, because many of them not even may know me, but also may have some ideas to give me on how to structure this, so I can go to their governments and say, listen, you know, these physicians have come up with a great idea for us to help your elders and their seniors, because many people don't know this, but Native Americans give off the largest concentration of veterans to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're trying to help a Native elder, very likely they're veterans.
Okay.
So we are kind of helping the veterans too, while helping the Native, you know, Native seniors. So it's a huge, huge noble cause that we're trying to do here.
That would be great. I think it's a chance to translate anything. But now we have to go to commercial break. Once we come back, I'm going to start with translating just a very short summary of what we just discussed. And then I'm going to continue with my questions, which I have a lot.
Wonderful.
دوستان عزیز تا دقایق دیگر با ما باشید. برمیگردیم با آقای دکتر واهان ستیان، ادامه میدیم صحبتمون رو و خدماتی که ایشون دارن ارائه میدن به اهالی کالیفرنیا، به خصوص سرخپوستان آمریکایی و قبیله های اونها، و بعد اینکه چطور میتونن کمک رسان باشن ایرانی ها و چرا باید اکچولی کمک بکنن به سرخپوستا، خود ایرانی هایی هم که الان دارن در کالیفرنیا و در آمریکا زندگی میکنن. با ما باشید.